information available in their packets right now for the Agricultural and Rural Economics and Veterans Affairs divisions, as well as the public safety. We're going to meet until approximately 1 o'clock and then recess until 5 o'clock. Hopefully we'll be able to get through both of these before we recess, but we'll just have to carry it forward. If we do not, there are several conflicts members have on both the House and the Senate side, beginning at about, on the House side, at least 1:30. So for the public, I think the side-by-sides are in the process of being copied. Is that correct? So we'll distribute those like we did last night as soon as they're done. I've been asked by several people today what the order of the various articles was going to be, and the order is being determined by the availability of the articles, essentially. We will, for those of you that are in the audience that are interested in the education article, the House Education K-12 Finance Division is having a hearing in Ricori tonight. Theirs wasn't ready for noon, and so the education article, Senator Cohen and I were just talking about that, will be when we meet tomorrow. And we'll talk a little bit more later about tomorrow's schedule and have some discussion between the chairs as we get some input from members as well as to whether or not there will be a weekend schedule beyond Friday. So items we'll talk about later. But to make sure we get off to a good start and through these side-by-sides, we'll start with the agricultural section first. And you ready to roll?
Mr. Chair, members, what we'd like to do is go through the spreadsheet first, if you'd allow. And we'll go section by section, agriculture, board of animal health, veterans affairs, so we're not going through the whole thing, but we'll do division by division alternately so you can see the comparisons and hopefully grasp them. So with permission, I'll start. I'll do the spreadsheet work, and staff here will probably do the side-by-sides when we get to it, as I haven't had a chance to look real close at that yet. If you have the spreadsheet or the in front of you, obviously, the first page is just a compilation of the total funding. We'll start on page 2, Department of Agriculture, on the House side. Line 24 shows the reductions. Department reductions were requested were $302 a year. And again, in our side-by-side, you'll see that was asked to come out of certain divisions. So it was a little more surgical than just a broad a reduction. Livestock Investment Grant Program, you see we put funding towards that. That's an ongoing program that we've been trying to fund through taxes, but we're now moving it to the Department of Agriculture. Gives out grants for feedlot and livestock production improvements. Line 27, Elk River EDA grant cancellation. There was we gave out a number of kind of next generation energy grants last year. Great River Energy was going to do a plasma torch technology project, and they are not doing that now, so we account for that in our spreadsheet and goes back into our general fund budget. The next one was a Representative Solberg initiative. It's a $60,000 internship program to match federal USDA dollars in Washington for an internship for a Minnesota student in agriculture out there, so it's a Department of Agriculture initiative that we're matching. Lines 29 and 30 go together. There's a ongoing dispute on Gopher State Ethanol. Senator Cohen in your hometown, as you know, closed down some time ago. And we make ethanol producer payments to those original ethanol plants, including Gopher State at the time. However, since they've closed down, the Attorney General has ruled that based on bankruptcy court requirements, we have to continue making producer payments, even though there's nothing being produced, which is kind of nonsensical. So we put some language together and canceled those payments. We hope will satisfy the bankruptcy court's trouble on that, and then we take that money and put it into groundwater monitoring, which we think is a much better use of that dollars than giving it to a bankruptcy court to someone who isn't producing ethanol anymore. And that's what you see going on those lines. And that's other than that, you can see the one-time and tails that show up on the different accounts there. And that's it for the House side, and I'd let the Senate do their agriculture portion.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. Chairman, I'm Dan Mueller, the fiscal analyst for the Ag and Vets Committee. I'll be going through the spreadsheet. On the Senate side, we have a similar administrative cut. Ours is $652,000 per year, and we have language that allows the commissioner to allocate that cut throughout the agency through agency services. So that's it's about a $350,000 deeper cut than the House. On livestock investment grant, the Senate has $700,000 one time, so that's about $1.685 million less than the House. The next change on the Senate side, on page 30, we also did the reduction for the Gopher State payments, similar to what the House did, but we did not specifically tie the same amount to another program. That was just to help us with our bottom line. So in the end, we have a net $262,000 reduction to the Department of Ag. The House has a $1.943 million increase. Most of that is due to the big difference in the livestock investment grants.
So, Mr. Chair, with your permission, we'll move on to Board of Animal Health. Again, this is very simple. We have $5.5 million roughly. In Board of Animal Health, and that's a number that's still being jockeyed with, but we're carrying this amount in here, and I think we should continue to on our spreadsheets. However, there is a bill I'll point out by Senator Scoy and Representative Olin that is moving through the process that these numbers will be reflected in that bill when it comes out. But until one or the other makes it to the end, I think it's wise we carry it in both. This is the bovine TB crisis in northern Minnesota that we're addressing both bodies and the governor's office. So we're carrying that additional amount that was added in our Ways and Means Committee here a week ago or so. They added some more, and we're carrying it here, too, and I think that's a good thing.
Mr. Chairman, on that point, the Senate and the House are pretty close on the total amount for bovine TB. The Senate's at about $6.224 million. The House is $6.034 million, so we're difference of only $190,000, and that's mostly in the herd buyout part of the proposals on each side.
So, Mr. Chair, I'll move now into the Veterans Affairs Department section and go through the House, starting on line 49, County Veteran Service Grant increases. There was basically we tried to get money down out into the field where on the House side where soldiers and veterans and families can have access to it. County Veteran Service Grants go right to our counties, and they are able to use that money for transportation and other needs and small grants that they need out in the county. So that passes through there, and we had an increase on that. CVSO training coordinators, there's a request. We did not fund that. We are actually in our policy bill, and both of us have policy bills moving separately. That'll be addressed there. We're actually coordinating with our county CVSO and the department to put together some new language for next year, and so we didn't see a need to do that. That was a governor's request that wasn't funded. State Soldiers Assistance Program increase, again, that is the money that the department gives out directly to veterans to pay a heating bill, to buy a pair of hearing aids, to whatever emergency might come up. We think that's money well spent in today's economy and other things. We have lots of requests, and they come in through the county veteran service officers, but actually administered by Veterans Affairs. So both sides, I see, did a pretty good increase on that, and that's rightly so. State Navigators, we did not fund. That's a transition program from military affairs to more veterans affairs oversight as returning Iraqi and Afghan vets come back. Military affairs did fund it, however, and I guess we think that that's covered there, and we didn't cover it under the veterans affairs budget. Veterans caseworkers, again, what we're doing, members, is moving to a new model of delivering veteran services across this state as part of the governor's veterans task force. It was work this summer with House and Senate members and admin people and others. We want to go county by county and deliver veteran services. To do that, we're going to need some caseworkers, case management people that are experts in that, most likely from a nonprofit sector, private sector source. We're working with several nonprofits, the department is, even church-affiliated or religious-affiliated groups, and we think that's going to be a very good way to efficiently deliver services in the future, county by county, not necessarily through a hospital or a vet's home. Moving down, the Link Vet is our one-stop shop line. It's worked very well, and we've continued to grow and expand the hours of operation and the personnel that are available, and that's needed for that line. Veterans Claim Office, again, we add $250,000 Veterans Claims Office. That's to add staff. These are the people that work directly with our veterans to get their benefits. And in particular, we're adding a female staff member because now we have a lot of returning female veterans that sometimes have specific needs or are more comfortable with a female staffer. So we are adding, I believe, two people to that claims office with our new overload of claims coming in with our returning veterans from the latest conflicts. So we think, again, money well spent to bring money into the state, a lot of it federal. Then we move down. Well, I should probably just brief explanation on some of these that are zeroed out. Veterans assistance on campus, we didn't do. We have about 13 staffed veterans assistance offices now based on last year's bill. But I think there's over 30 campuses that have veterans facilities and help rooms and other things on campuses. We have regional coordinators, and we just think for now we're covering that very good with what is basically going to be a temporary operation as, again, we move through these returning younger veterans who may be coming back to a school situation. So we made the decision not to go ahead with that. TBI outreach and education, you see a difference, again, in both sides. I'll explain our difference. We don't think we need to outreach and educate on TBI anymore. We did a study that we funded last year. A study showed that TBI is the signature injury of the returning Iraq and Afghani conflict. We already know it. There's no our county veteran service officers know it. Our medical staffs know it. No more need to reach out. What we did is put $50,000 towards to the medical director in the veterans' homes and ask them to develop a treatment program for TBI. I think we're to the point of treating, not outreaching and discovering anymore. And so that's why you see the difference, at least on our side of it. Veterans Affairs Marketing, again, we didn't think that was the best use of the dollars. We'd rather get them out on the ground. Those are ads you hear sometimes at Gophers football games and basketball and other things if you listen to the radio to basically advertise that there's veterans services available and folks can stop into their county VS veteran service office, whatever. Again, in tight budget times, we thought that money could be better spent. Minnesota Assistance Council of Veterans, that's a homeless program for veterans. Again, veterans are 2-to-1 in our homeless shelters and homeless to the general population, and we continue to try and address that problem and add some money to that. Veterans Homes Operations Study, again, both sides are similar there. Very important, as you know, the Veterans Homes was put into the Veterans Affairs Department, and as we're going to really look at a way to deliver these services different, to really take a hard look at where our homes are, what services are needed there, what they should be used for, and so this is part of that whole transition, moving into what I'll call the next generation or new generation of veteran services across the state, and so we put together a large group of people that are going to really do some study on where and what we should be doing with those homes and those services out there. Minnesota Veterans Cemetery, you'll see a difference in the tails of the Senate and House. There's a new cemetery coming up near Duluth that is not there yet. There are no, obviously, there's been no grave markers put in. There's nothing to do there yet. So we both agree we didn't need staff in this year. But I'm not so sure that we'll need staff and dollars out there in the second year. And so we asked the department to come in next year in a full budget year and let us know what they think their timelines are, and we'll be covered. So we did not cover any money, either current year or tails, on that. Down to line 62, we had a reduction, and again, all departments were asked to reduce. I again repeat that one of the reasons for the governor to combine Veterans Homes Board previous with Veterans Affairs current was for some of the efficiencies. You only need one legislative liaison. You only need one financial director. You only need one copy machine instead of two. And so they had a budget sitting out there that transferred of about $1.9 million. We took roughly half of it and said, we think you can find those efficiencies. And we hope you can, because why would you combine departments and other things if it didn't result in efficiencies? Then we shouldn't be doing that type of thing. So whether that number is right or not, we continue to ask the department to bring us actual numbers on where, what they think their savings will be, and we hope to get that before this bill is done. But for now, we've earmarked $1 million efficiency savings in that line. Continuing down, GI Bill modifications. We had a GI Bill last year we passed, anticipating needing about $13 million, $6 million a year. The federal government actually came through, so a lot of that money obviously has been accounted for in other line items here as we reviewed that and decided there were better uses for it. But there was a fiscal note on some changes the department made both now and into the future. Some of that money is being used. This is an actual reflection of the actual fiscal note that came that we think we're going to need for tuition into the future. So we did plug that in on the House side. Vets Paramedic Apprenticeship Program, again, both sides have it. That's to train rural paramedics. Paramedics that are coming back, returning from Iraq and Afghanistan and other areas, are being targeted then and trained for our rural ambulance and EMS personnel. And we have a real shortage out there. That's an excellent program. Peer-to-peer counseling, again, that was a Kalin bill on the House side to develop some peer-to-peer counseling programs similar to other counseling and peer-to-peer issues out there where you, again, need to have trained counselors and other things. We asked them to develop that program across the state. And then we took, actually, when you look at the million we canceled, again, with the auspices of we should be able to take that money then and use it where it really should be put, we asked Veterans Homes staff, do you have a need down in the veterans homes in Laverne and Fergus Falls and Hastings and Minneapolis and Silver Bay? Do you have a need that $1 million would come in handy for in one-time money? The answer was yes. They are developing a electronic medical distribution system like you see in our modern hospitals now. For those of you that have toured the handheld prescription drug formularies, and the you don't have to read doctor's writing anymore, which was a good thing, and all that type of thing. So we're putting it, again, right into the homes, right down on the front line, saving the money in the department, hopefully moving it out into the homes where it can do a lot of good. So, again, the bottom line is that reduction in the GI Bill. Again, no veteran is going without that GI benefit, but the feds kicked in after last session. The federal money now has kicked in, and our students are able to access that. We did not think they could do that last year, and so that's why you see the reductions in the GI Bill showing up. And then finally, on the last two items, it's simply a technical change, and you'll see this carried both in Veterans Affairs and in Military Affairs on our side. There were two bills, and they found their way into both committees, but it's clarifying the support our troops was showing up in two different areas, and that's a license plate income, and there's language on how that can be spent in the policy section. So that's the end of the House side for Veterans Affairs.
Mr. Mueller?
Mr. Chairman, I'll just focus just where there's differences in the appropriation. So I'll be going off that column, Senate minus House, on column AE off the spreadsheet. Again, the Senate did not do the increase in the CVSO grants. The Senate has about $1 million less in the State Soldiers Assistance Program of $2.5 million compared to $3.5 in the House. The Senate did do the State Navigators with the Veterans Affairs. That was a governor's provision. The Senate has about $500,000 less then the House on the caseworkers. And on the link vet, the Senate is $120,000 less than the House, plus we do not have tails. On the Veterans Claim Office, we have the same amount in 09, but the Senate does not have tails on that amount, on that provision, the House does. On down to the traumatic brain injury and outreach, the Senate did do the governor's recommendation on that of $250,000. On the Veteran Affairs Marketing, the Senate did do the governor's rec of $100,000 on that. Again, one time, the governor had that ongoing. The next difference in the Senate is carrying the tails amount of $325,000 on line 61 for the Northern Minnesota New Cemetery. The Senate did not do a reduction for the transfer of the vets board to the vets or the vets home. We did not do any modifications to the GI Bill. However, down on line 69, we did take a pretty similar cut to the existing appropriation for the GI Bill. Both the House and Senate are very close, only $50,000 difference between that. And then we did not do the peer-to-peer counseling or the medical distribution system improvements that the House has in their bill. And then on the next page, both the Senate and the House did do the support our troops, lifting the cap and making that a statutory appropriation.
And Mr. Chair, I'm gonna shift the order here because, frankly, military affairs is for some reason in our is handled by Representative Kahn, and so it shows up on the spreadsheet. But I didn't work with that, so I'm gonna ask the Senate to do the explaining on the spreadsheet on that. I assume you have that over in your division.
Mr. Chairman,
Mr. Miller.
Yes, on both sides we're actually very close. These were pretty much all governor's initiatives. The only difference is on the state navigators. The Senate side appropriated 150 instead of 180. And that's that. Like I said, these are all governor's initiatives. We also have a separate $15,000 appropriation to military affairs online. Let me see, 88 of the spreadsheet for a study, a youth challenge study. There was a bill asking them to do a study, and ran a fiscal note on it, and they said they would like some money to do the study. And then again, you see the same support our troops spending cap that we had up in Veterans Affairs. That's on both bills. The other item that is not on the House side is the there's a provision in the governor's initiative to allow the Camp Ripley to manage their own timber force on their base and to keep the revenue and keep it all in-house. This was previously managed by the DNR, so it moves all the money over to the Camp Ripley land fund. That's why there's a little bit of increase in statutory appropriations, and later on there's an offset on the general fund. Also, but it's just a moving of the authority of the Camp Ripley Forest from DNR over to the Camp Ripley. And those are the only differences between the House and the Senate on military affairs.
So, Mr. Chair, I think that's it for the spreadsheet. Unless you have any questions, we'll certainly entertain them, but we can have staff then, after questions, move into the side-by-side.
Senator Fredericks.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Jahnke. Line 27, the Elk River EDA grant cancellation, that's canceled to the general fund. Was that an appropriation out of the general fund, or was that from another fund?
Mr. Chair and Senator Fredrickson, yes, it was a general fund appropriation one time, and so it simply cancels back into the general fund.
Thank you.
Senator Kwan.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Jahnke, just a quick question. Going to line 31, how did you redirect the ethanol reductions?
Representative Jahnke.
Well, Senator Cohen, what do you mean? I'm not following. What do you mean? How did we do it?
In the spreadsheet, indicates you redirected.
Well, what you see is the 310 matches. We took We canceled the ethanol payments, and then we just moved it into an ag department water monitoring program where they put wells around the state to monitor for pesticides and other things. So we're enhancing the water monitoring abilities of the department rather than making the 310. And you can see the tails on that to go out. But we only did it one time. So next year in the full budget year, we'll have to decide how to direct that money. And in fact, by law, it's probably directed at this point to go to pay off the existing, which most of them are going to be done in the next 3 or 4 years, the existing ethanol contracts. But for this year anyway, we had a one-time shot at it, and then we'll come back in a full budget year and see what we want to do with the tails on it.
Hey, Senator Higgins.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Representative Junkie, if most of the contracts are, the original contracts are going to be paid off in the next 3 or 4 years, does that mean that the ethanol subsidies will end then at that point?
Mr. Chair and Senator Higgins, we started a number of years ago, obviously, with the ethanol producer payment program, which was 20 cents a gallon up to 15 million gallons for 10 years. And those original plants got that. That was about a $30 million a year program, $35 million roughly when it started. We are now down to roughly $15 million a year. So there's already plants that have come off, that have gone to their 10-year period and are coming off. None of our new plants get it. So every year, yes, we have spreadsheets we look at, but starting next biennium and then the biennium after, the next 4 years, I believe all of them are off at that time, and that money then is going into next-generation energy projects and other priorities. In fact, some of that money is already – some of those next-gen grants that we talked about last year, it's already being shifted over into mainly other biofuel and biomass-type projects.
Thank you.
Okay, maybe we can go to the side-by-sides then. Which one of you would like to start that?
Mr. Chairman, I could start. I think Mr. Knopf's going to do the Senate side, and we'll do like we normally do. We'll go through this and point out same similars and the important what we think maybe are the items that should be highlighted. Really, since we've gone through the spreadsheet, though, I think we can pretty quickly go through just the riders. So they're really just driven by the numbers in the spreadsheet. So page one is just boilerplate language. I don't think there's any differences significant. Page two, at least on the House side, it's Department of Ag. They're just the riders that implement the appropriation amounts. I don't think there's anything that needs to be pointed out there other than it's just implementing the dollars. Page three, on the House side, our riders that implement the dollars. And Senator Cohen, I'd point out the language you were maybe looking for is in 206.11 to 206.22 is how the House deals with the ethanol redirection for both the 10 and then the 11 and, or 9 and then the 10 and 11 out years. I believe the Senate does it with some language later on, really. Moving into then 219 is the House has language that discontinues the ethanol payments that was back uncodified. It looks like I think the Senate does the same thing. It's just in rider language, a little differently worded. 206 is a House appropriation, be driven by the numbers. Moving on to R4 is the Board of Animal Health. Differences in the riders here were pointed out going through. Primarily, the Senate has a set amount that's for the buyout. The House has that included in the total. The House on 207.1 through 207.15 has a particular $12,000 appropriation being redirected from last year's dollars appropriated in Chapter 45 to a particular producer, as indicated there. It's pretty clear in the rider. It's to indemnify producers that lost money, but their cows aren't actually infected at this point. Moving on to R5, what we have here is language that was requested by the agency that the House has. The Senate does not have. It's 213.3 on the House side. What it does It's regarding the Legislative Advisory Commission and allows the governor to request a transfer related to invasive tree pests. It was requested by the agency, and the House does have that language. And R5 then is Senate language.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Knopf.
Greg Knopf, yes, from Senate Council Research. Maybe if I could just go back just a couple of pages just to be clear on some of the differences in the language. You'll see on page R3 where the Senate has, I just wanted to be clear on the ethanol producer payments. The Senate reduces the amount for the payments just in this fiscal year only on 112.1 to 112.4. And then use the money, basically fell to the bottom line, and use it for other expenditures within this area. And then if you look on 112.5 to 112.16, you see what the Senate does is basically cancels the ethanol producer payments for this operation that declared bankruptcy in 2004. And then also there's a sentence at the end that says for fiscal years 2010 and 2011, the payments discontinued this are available to make payments to claimants for unpaid claims against the producer that ceased operations. So what it doesn't actually appropriate the money. What it does is it puts a placeholder in for the future. I mean, that money will be appropriated in the 2009 session. This was a floor amendment to basically put a placeholder in for the future that, even though we're canceling the money ongoing, that the intent is to try to do something with that. The same as the House has dealt with it in a little bit different manner, but to try to get at that same issue.
And Mr. Chair, just to that point, I am having House Research, and I assume Senate Research might help out too, do some background on how much of an effect we can have on bankruptcy courts. Essentially, and I've been approached to, we have elevators and others that haven't been paid yet, but whether we can usurp federal and state bankruptcy law and now start assigning payments, because I've got 10 pages of claimants to that bankruptcy, and I suspect if we start zeroing in on some, we may get a lot of other people coming to the Capitol saying, what about me, what about me? And so we're walking cautiously, and we're trying to understand from our research staff if we're even allowed to redirect payments to another claimant in bankruptcy, and we should have that figured out in the next few days here, I would hope.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Junkie, I think that the Senate strategy was to not necessarily deal with it this session, since it's a 2010 appropriation anyways, just to make sure we put a placeholder in for the next biennium and then try to come up with a thoughtful approach in 2009. And Mr. Chairman, then on page R4, the Board of Animal Health, I just wanted to emphasize that Representative Junkie mentioned in going through the spreadsheet that there is a separate bill on this. So the Senate does contain language that more elaborates on how the money is to be is appropriated and where it's to go to the Board of Animal Health as far as the payments to cattle owners. And we'll have language that we'll see in a moment here. I just wanted to clarify that there is a separate bill, and it's likely that I think the authors, anyways, of that separate bill are hopeful that it would be included in there and not in here down the road. But it's just something to keep our eyes on. And then we'll go back to
you're talking about the buyout of the herds,
Mr. Chairman.
Referencing when you say the separate bill.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, it actually contains all of the Board of Animal Health provisions that are in here are in the other bill, including the entire appropriation.
Well,
so the question is if that bill were to pass before this one does, the question would be it would be to take out the appropriation here. I mean, that's up to the conference committee members and up to leadership on how that's all going to be resolved. But there is a separate bill in the Senate's language. We say if it's appropriated in both places that the appropriation in that bill is canceled or void. I'm not sure what the House has got.
We have a separate bill as well. It was reported out of finance yesterday. I think our numbers are close but slightly different, so we're tracking it there as well.
Mr. Chairman, there are some language differences, I think, that are being worked out, too, that will be a little bit different than what's in here.
And Representative Junkie's been following that bill quite closely as well, although you're not the It's Representative Olin that's
Mr. Chair, it's Representative Olin, and again, you will see the bill be quite different, but if something happens to that bill or this happens to move quicker, we want to take the quickest route out for this money. So if your bill beats Olin and Skoy, we'll put their language in here and move it out. So,
just so everybody understands, it's on a dual track then at this point in time. If you want to...
And Mr. Chairman, on page R5, you'll see the Senate language that passed as part of this bill for the Livestock Investment Grant Program. That's from Senator Scogin's bill, 2704. I think the House has language in another bill. You have an appropriation here for the program, but it says it's for Section 17.118 if enacted. What the Senate did is put it all together in one bill, the appropriation and the language for the program. So you'll see, and I think the language is if not identical, very close to being identical. On the two sides, and that goes through page R6 and through the top of page R7. And then here's the language that I mentioned on R7. Section 6 is the bovine TB management zone restriction language. This is, from Senator Skoy's 3728, and this is, I think, the House is adopting similar language, although some modifications in this herd buyout program in another bill. And if it is enacted in this bill, it would be good to have that language for the buyout program in here, in this bill, if the money is going for that program, because this specifies how it's to be used. So that's section 6. And I don't know. Let me know if you want me to go through more detail. I'll go through it pretty quick, unless there are questions on exactly how these programs are going to work. And Mr. Chairman, then you can see on the same on page R8. It's that same section dealing with the fencing and the cattle herd remaining in the zone. Section 7 is the designation of zones, and that was actually part of the governor's request. The one difference between the governor's request and this provision, if you look on 116.34, it says the board may designate tuberculosis zones that contain not more than 300 herds. I did hear this morning that the number should be 325, but that's something for a later discussion. And that's that will allow the board to set up these modified accredited zones. You know, they're working with the federal government, and I think I heard that by the fall they're hoping to have this zone specified so that the producers in the remaining parts of the state will not be subject to the TB testing requirements. And then in Section 8, you'll see this temporary assessment and appropriation, and that's the $1 for each head of cattle sold from the first purchaser. And that's to kind of piggyback on where they're paying a checkoff fee right now under federal and state law. And this would provide another dollar on top of that. That money would be deposited in a special revenue fund, and it's appropriated to the Board of Animal Health for their bovine TB activities. And then there is also a provision there allowing for a refund if they're in that modified accredited zone. For those producers to not place any more burden on them, on the producers who are in the middle of the hot zone, as some people refer to it. And, Mr. Chairman, that's the end of that article on the Senate side.
Senator Higgins, you had your hand up earlier.
Mr. Chair, Senator Frederson answered one of my questions, and my other question is on line 113.17 on page R5. What is a ratite? I know what a cervidae is at this point, but I don't know what a ratite is.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Higgins, it's a very large bird, emu, or it's those type of large birds.
Good question.
Every day is a new learning experience here, Mr. Chairman.
That's the advantage of being here, I think. Junkie or okay.
Mr. Reinholtz, I think.
Mr. Reinholtz, okay.
Mr. Chair, then on R10, we'll move into some of the riders in the Department of Veterans Affairs and point out the differences. On R10, it's just the summary totals, so that will be determined by the spreadsheet. Moving on to R11, the Senate has some additional summary language starting out, and then it moves into the riders. And I think the first rider on the House side is for veteran services officers. The Senate doesn't have that because they didn't fund that position. Moving on to R12, the House has basically reporting language on 207.31 through 208.5. You'll find this language repeated in the House position. It was an attempt to be sure that we get reporting back from the department and the commissioner on these new funded items. Then there's a Senate item on caseworkers. The House, it's not lined up here, but the House does have line or language on caseworkers would be found on the next R13, 208-21 through 208-30. There is differences here. Representative Junkie pointed that out when he went through the spreadsheet that we're trying to move this to a community-based and available statewide, and the House language requires, I think, the significant difference is that it be solicited for bids for those provisions, not agency staff. Unless the Senate has other item, I'll move on. 208.6 is the appropriations for the state soldiers' assistance. That's, I think, similar on both sides. Then there's reporting language on the House side once again. Moving on to R13, that's the caseworker language I discussed is the first paragraph on the House side. The next one paragraph is the similar reporting language again. Link Vet, both sides have similar language. I believe that the spreadsheet, the House, I'm not certain if the House is one time only on that. No, the House recommended carries that forward. The Senate has that one time only. It would be the difference there. The Veterans Claim Office, the House also has language in requiring that combine the current toll-free higher education call center with Link Vet, also not on the Senate side. The next rider, both sides have language on the Veterans Claim Office. I believe it's similar other than the House, Senate has it one time only. House continues it on, I believe. Moving on to R14, rider language on both sides for the traumatic brain injury. Representative Junkie pointed out the differences in positions there, so I don't think I need to do that right now. Moving into the next item, both House and Senate have money for the Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. I think the similar other than the one-time only on the Senate side. Then there's a reporting language paragraph on the House side. Again, same language. Next is an appropriation for the Veterans Home Study. Both sides have the same appropriation. The House has considerably more language on that in detail on what they're looking for and want the study to include the language or looking at more than just alternative models. And the detail shows up looking for partnering in home-based services for vets on 210-15. Moving on to R15, also looking at that skilled nursing services. And so the same study, the House has more detail on what they're looking for. The next item, there's differences. The House 210-25 has language requiring explicit legislative approval before any new staff are hired for any new vet cemetery. The Senate language.
Mr. Chairman, Tom Bodden with Senate Counsel. On the Senate side, you'll see the $325,000 appropriation in the out years that Mr. Mueller talked about. That's contingent on enactment, or rather the approval of the new Veterans Cemetery that would be contained elsewhere.
Mr. Chairman, moving back to the House paragraph 210-28, I believe this was requested by the agency. It's allowing the movement from one account to the other related to the Veterans Cemetery. The next paragraph is a House only. That was the reduction in the appropriation related to the combination of the two agencies that the House has. Senate does not. 211-10 is expenditure appropriation for changes in the GI Bill program. House has language that expands that program, and this is Senate does not have that appropriation nor this language. The next item, 211-15, are the reductions that were mentioned going through the spreadsheet based on the fiscal note of the current GI Bill education program. I think the dollar amounts are slightly different. The language, although slightly different, does the same thing. Moving to R15, how do I have a second? R-15 here.
R-16.
Moving to it, their first paragraph is House and Senate both have language slightly different. I believe the difference is the Senate has additional language. I'm not sure. Maybe Mr. Botter could point that out.
Mr. Chairman, I think the Senate language just goes a little further into stating what the goal of the grant to the Minnesota Ambulance Association would be. Otherwise, I think the writers do basically the same thing.
Mr. Chair, moving back to the House side again, is the pilot program appropriation $25,000 for peer-to-peer counseling, then a report related to that. $1,212.5 is the $1 million for medication distribution system, a House-only proposal, and then also the next paragraph is the reporting language on that. 212.18, the spreadsheets are both the same. The House has some additional language on the change of the that account, the moving it from being direct appropriated to a statutory account, although the numbers are the same. Then moving on to R-17 is some Senate-only language.
Mr. Chairman, on R-17, the top of the Senate side, that language just basically reflects the addition of the State Navigator Program in the Department of Veterans Affairs. I believe both the House and the Senate contain it in the Military Affairs as well.
Mr. Chairman?
And Mr. Chairman, the Department of Employment and Economic Development language on R-17 is in the Senate bill, on the economic development part of the bill. It's funded a little bit differently, but it's basically the same language.
And Mr. Chair.
I'm informed, I guess, we're going to match that up by Mr. Marks in economic development. So,
I just want to point out to Senator Tomasoni, we used our account money to pay for that deed program, but you get the tails in the House side. So that's why it showed up here. We are trying to help you out in a big, big, big way.
Very nice. Chair, I need to point out to my roommate, and senators don't know that Representative Junkie is my roommate, Mutt and Jeff, over there at the... But in any event, Representative Junkie, you know, last year, and my target was the $10 million that you just took. So actually, the money that I should get that money, Mr. Chair, in my higher ed division, or to play with in economic development with Representative Tomasoni, or Senator Tomasoni.
And Mr. Chair, we're glad we have a wise finance and ways and means chair in the House that sorted that out for us, so we didn't have to fight over Cheerios in the morning about that.
Well, Mr. Chair, we could certainly...
Senator Thompson, you know, you sat next to in front of me on the House floor so long that I forget your title of many years now in the Senate.
I'm probably still housebroken, too, for all I know. But we'll figure it all out in here.
You'll work that out, okay.
Mr. Chairman and members, just to add to Mr. Marks' comments, to be clear that the dollars for the language on lines 212 to 234 are carried in the economic development numbers for the House and the Senate in the spreadsheet that we went over yesterday. So that's where those numbers are being carried as well.
Okay, thank you. That's what we're just talking about.
I think the Senate needs to go over their Veterans Affairs.
Okay, we're just involved on whether Representative Paymar needs to stay, being that we're almost at
close to done.
Should we keep running for a while, or do you want to finish right after this one? Representative Paymar, we were just talking. Our original intent was to recess at 1 until 5, and this one is actually going to take us a little beyond 1 o'clock. So if you could come back at 5. Could you? Okay, thank you. And we are who's up next?
Mr. Chairman, there's one other item on the Senate side and the writers. It's the $100,000 for Veterans Affairs marketing, as stated in the review of the spreadsheet. And that brings us to the discussion of the statutory language. Most of those items are pretty similar. I can walk through them pretty quickly. The bottom of R17 is the World War II Memorial Donation Match Account. I think there's a small amount of money left in there. I believe both sides would make the money available for services and programs for veterans and their families. On R18, on the top there, there's some House language on the Support Our Troops account that creates a statutory appropriation from that account. I believe the Senate language that does that is shown in the Military Affairs article. I can double-check that for you, but that, I think, is the case. Then on line 214.6 of the House side, you'll just see that makes it clear that for the appropriations from the Support Our Troops account to the Department of Veterans Affairs, both sides have the same purposes for those appropriations. Then on the House side of R18, there are changes to an appropriation last year. I'll let the House describe that.
Mr. Chairman, members, on R18, the House does have 214.20 through 214.23 allows the last year's appropriation for the State Soldiers Assistance Program, which was done in the first year, to be added, which was done a set amount in each year, now is available either year. And this was done, apparently they have a deficit this year, and that will allow them to use some of the 09 money in 08. The department asked for that language. On 19, 20, 21, there's no changes. It's just the carryover for that one change. It moves all the way down then. On R23 is the summary of the appropriations for the Military Affairs Division. It's really just boilerplate language on 23. I don't think there's just technical changes. R24 is where the actual appropriations show up. We went through these in the spreadsheet, but I'll try to, once again, we'll try to point out differences in some of the rider language. The first one is for an enhancement of the employer support program. Both sides have this the same amount of money worded slightly different. The next paragraph is the appropriation for the National Guard medics bonus. I believe the slightly different in the language, but same amount of money. The next paragraph on 257.3 is $180,000 for the state navigator position in military affairs. I think the difference is one time only on Senate versus the House. The next item is related once again to the change from the special revenue fund from direct to a statutory. Numbers are the same. House has some additional language. I think in total the bills do the same thing. R25 then would be a Senate-only language.
Mr. Chairman, that's just reflecting the item in the spreadsheet that appropriated money for the National Guard Youth Challenge Program study, and that study language is contained elsewhere in the bill. Then the next item, I'll just go through the items that are the same here. You'll see Section 4 on the Senate side on R25 is the Support Our Troops account statutory appropriation, dividing the money in that account equally between Military Affairs and Veterans Affairs. And that contains an immediate effective date as well on both sides. And then Section 5 on the Senate side of R25 is the uses for the statutory appropriation of the Support Our Troops account to Military Affairs, and that's expands them in addition to the existing uses you see there. There's new language on 122.33 that would allow it for grants to family readiness groups. Then moving ahead to R26, the remainder, the language on the Senate side before Section 6 is just a continuation of that, the Support Our Troops appropriation with some technical changes. Then on the Senate side, Section 6 is the that's language that you'll see related to Camp Ripley and the timber management there. This removes an existing authorization for the Adjutant General to sell the timber on that land, and that actually had then, I think that money then went to the general fund. And then on R27, there's new language added that picks up the timber sales, providing basically moving the authorization for the Adjutant General to sell the timber from the land and then use the proceeds from that timber to manage the timber resources As the last portion of the last sentence says, in a manner consistent with the camp's purpose as lands for training armed forces. Then on the Senate side of R27, Section 8 is the same as House Section 5. I believe there may be very minor differences. That's for the State Enhanced Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve Program. That's language the governor requested. Same with Section 6 on the House side, Section 9 on the Senate side. That authorizes the Adjutant General to set up a program to provide a special bonus to eligible members of the Guard who recertify as EMTs. There's basically procedures provided for that. Moving ahead to R28, Section 7 is a House-only provision. I'll let the House staff describe that.
Mr. Chairman and members, Section 7 on the House side on R28 is language to allow a National Guard member's spouse to use that member's National Guard education benefits if that member has already served a full 8-year term. And the spouse could use 12 credits for each year beyond 8 years that National Guard member has served. We also have language, House-only language, in Section 9 for the Starbase study. It's a study of the Starbase educational program. It's a highly acclaimed program for inner-city children that the National Guard runs at the Air Base at MSP.
Mr. Cleary, I'm sorry, they run it where?
MSP. MSP.
Okay. The airport.
Yeah, I didn't quite hear. Thanks.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, I'm looking at the use of tuition and textbook reimbursement grant language, and I noticed that on line 87 of the spreadsheet, the governor has it in his recommendations, but the House doesn't. But you seem to have the language.
That's right, ma'am. I overlooked that. Senator, on Section 9, there is another study, there's language that directs the National Guard to contract with the Wilder Foundation for that study.
Mr. Chair, on Senator Higgins' question, I must say, when I saw that this language came from a different committee over to here, and I will check on whether or not there should have been whether they changed the language from the governor's, and whether there was then expectation of no cost, because I do. It does not show up on the spreadsheet on the Senate side.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Cleary?
Mr. Chairman, there's one other item on the bottom of R28 that's basically the same with minor grammatical and technical differences on both sides, and that's the language implementing the National Guard Youth Challenge Program study. You'll recall the Senate did provide, I think it was $15,000 in funding for that study. I don't think the House provided any funding. And that completes the walkthrough of the side-by-side.
Mr. Chairman, I did skip one other item. Section 8 on R25, House only, includes some language that sunsets the campus veterans rep program. It was sunsetted no later than when the number of reps on campuses, the number of veterans on campuses reaches 4,000, but no later than 2011. That 2011 deadline has been removed, would be removed.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, what page
Where
is that?
Where is that?
What page are you on?
If you could repeat the location of that page. Again.
I'm sorry, the last page, R28.
R28.
I see. Okay. 259.31.
Yep. Okay. I think that completes it. 5 o'clock. So we should we'll be taking up public safety and what else do we have available, at least at this point. Environment and energy, and we'll just take